When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited for you to get to hear this wonderful conversation I had with the incomparable and hilarious Dulce Sloan. We talk about everything from working from home to her work on the news show, The Great North. And we have a lively discussion about our celebrity crushes. So settle in for some hijinks.
Forever Dog.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jinx Monsoon, and welcome to Hi, Jinx, a podcast where I, an internationally tolerated drag superstar, get to interview compelling and fascinating people about how they became who they are and why they do what they do. Today we are joined by comedian, Daily Show correspondent, and actor, Dulce Sloan. Hi, Dulce!
Hi, Jinx!
Perfect!
She did it. I would like to thank the Academy. I would like to thank everyone responsible for all the training that I received.
Yeah.
Thank you for coaching me.
You know, there's those moments where you're just like, this is why I got in debt to my eyeballs going to art school so that I could sit in a drag closet and do podcasts for the rest of my life.
Well, fun fact about me, I have an $85,000 theater degree and no student loans.
Congratulations.
That's why your parents pray. Mm-hmm. And it helps to be black because my school figured out, oh, wait, if we bring these black girls, then we can get money. Bring them. So, yeah, I went to a women's college where all the black girls could sit at the same lunch table, but I ain't got no loans. Look at God. Oh, so happy.
I can't say that I got any special treatment in theater school for being queer, because that's like, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand.
That's like being black at a black college. Like
even the straight guys were gay at theater school.
They had to fit in.
How are you doing? My listeners are going to get sick of hearing this, but you and I met at Clusterfest, and half my guests so far are people I met at Clusterfest, but hey, that's what networking is all about.
Listen, we were working, we are out here. This means that we are just really doing the work, really putting in the time, really understanding the assignment, as the kids like to say. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I was so excited because I haven't watched RuPaul's Drag Race since season one, when it was on Logo, when Drag Race was like in the back of cable, like the back of cable. Logo was like the back of cable, like next to like the Africa Channel, where it was like, what is on this network?
You had to unlock many levels of cable before you got, like, it was the ultra, it never came standard, what I'm trying to say.
This was like the extended, like you were getting like Israeli TV shows by the time you got to where Logo was.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like, I don't know Russian, but I'll learn it because this show is riveting.
We've just been slowly crawling our way from Logo closer and closer to like Comedy Central, you know?
Well, now it's on VH1, but yeah, because we met at Clusterfest, and I met you, and I met Alaska, and I met Honey Mahogany, and I had met Manila Luzon, because there was a stage.
We were all the Spice World girls, yeah.
Yes, the stage reading of Spice World, and I remember. It's funny because, like, when I met you and I met Alaska and I met Nita West at the Emmys, it was the same thing. It was like, you! Yeah. Like, neither one of us can function.
Yes.
Because we're so excited to meet the other one.
That always blows my fucking mind, because I am, like, unabashedly a fan of people. Like, when I'm a fan of you, like, especially the first time we meet, I'm going to just gush and gush and gush and get it all out of the way. And then, like, from that point on, maybe we can interact as human beings. But first, yes. I have to get all my, like, love and adoration out of the way. So yes. When there's someone that I'm meeting and I'm going through that, like, you know, my world is shrinking and I'm about to meet this icon, but they're going through the same thing with me, I'm like, wait a second, that's impossible.
Yeah, it's weird. Because, like, I'm so excited to meet you. Like, I'm excited to meet you. And neither one of us know how to act now. And yeah. It's like, because we're accustomed to, like, fans meeting us, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, you're like, okay, I'm meeting a fan mode. Mm-hmm, and hello, great. And they don't want to ask you for a picture. So you go, do you want a picture?
Yeah.
Just, do you want a picture?
You have your rehearsed, pre-approved moment that you've been through a million times. I have this problem. Sometimes I'll be in meet and greet mode, meeting fans. And then someone who's like a childhood friend will come up to me, or, like, you know, an old teacher or, like, a fellow colleague in the business. But I'm so much in meet and greet mode that they'll come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in 2 months. Did you ever, like, find your wallet that night? And I'm like, it's nice to see you. Hi. Did you enjoy the show? Fully in meet and greet robot mode.
And your friends are like, what is wrong with you? Like, because you literally, like, shake it. You're like,
you have to short circuit for a moment.
I just go, okay. So, like, that, especially, like, for me, like, after shows, like, doing stand-up shows, I'll have, like, you know, you're taking pictures with people, and then one of your friends is like, hey, you want to go to this bar? And you're like, I would love to. Sorry. Yeah, I'll see you in a second. And then you have to, like, switch back. But you don't, but it's, like, people, it's not like you're being fake. I think a lot of it is mitigating people's expectations.
Yes.
Because
it's curating the experience.
Yes. You know. Because they know, they quote unquote know you because they've seen you on TV or, you know, listen to your podcast, or follow you on the interwebs. So it's like they know you, but I'm like, hey man, you don't know me. Yeah. Some of the wildest fans are white women. They're very handsy. Very handsy. You're like, ma'am. Straight white women are wild. They're always touching you. You're like, yo, man. I don't know if it's just me. I think it might be drag queens as well.
Oh, I literally, not to, like, sidetrack the conversation, but I have literally had drunk straight men stick a finger up my butt.
What?
And that sounds like such a hyperbole, but I'm not kidding. Like, through my it's not like they're penetrating anything. I'm wearing 4 pairs of tights and hip pads and stuff.
I was asking, this man's hands got past all that? That's a strong man.
My asshole is just so easy to get into. No, it's just that I've had guys, and it's like, I think they think they're being hilarious, but they'll, like, fully, like, you know, diddle me. Like, there's nothing else to call it. And I don't know if it's alcohol. I don't know if it's because I'm a drag queen. That seems like something I'd want in life. But it happens. I oftentimes, like, grab them by the wrist and raise their hand above the crowd and say, this man just fingered me.
As you should. As you should. You are totally justified in being like, excuse me. Hi. We've got a Weinstein in the building. We have a Weinstein. I just want everyone to be aware that this man is completely out of line and inappropriate. But yes.
I don't even think I found it inappropriate at the time, because I was also so much of the mindset of, like, well, they expect this from a drag queen. It's part of the experience. It's only retrospect I look back at it and I'm like, wow, that was really weird that people did that.
Yeah. It's like all these drunk girls trying to motorboat me, or like white people trying to touch my hair, which I've been motorboated way more times by women than I have by men. I'm like, I don't like this. As in, and they never ask. They're just like, no. I'm like, ma'am, I don't know your name. Not that I've known the name of every man who put his face on titties, but I would like to know somebody's name before
you try. There's a certain amount of etiquette. There's a dance. There's a pas de deux that precedes motor boating.
A pas de deux, yes. The pas de deux that happens. Also, when has there ever been the juxtaposition of the pas de deux and the motorboat? This only can happen on the Hijinks podcast because we're trained. We're trained.
We're professionals.
We out here. Girl. So, I was super excited to meet you. So, and they were like, oh, you want to do Jinx podcast? I was like, yes. I didn't want to do Jinx podcast. Because, like, we were trying to hang out with each other after Clusterfest. But oddly enough, it was a clusterfuck. Yeah. So, everybody was everywhere.
That after party was worth everything. Like, I would have done the gig just for the after party if that was my only compensation.
It was nuts. Because the last one was like, come hang out. You were like, come hang out. And then my friends who I haven't seen in months were like, come hang out. And I was like, oh, I'm finally popular. And I don't know what to do.
It was just the amazing thing of like, you know, I'm used to seeing other drag queens out at the after parties and stuff. Right. But it was everywhere you looked at that after party, it was someone you had seen somewhere on TV at one point or another. You know, it's like, and it was an open bar. And I have never met another group of people to rival drag queens in their ability to drink until I after partied with comedians. Comedians can drink. Like, there's almost no difference between a comedian and a drag queen when it comes to the after party.
We love an open bar. It's what we live for. It's really, honestly, like, to go to a comedy festival that doesn't have an open bar is a comedy festival that comics will shit on forever.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's PBRs or have drinks in the green room. Do not have comics at a festival having to come out of pocket for these fermented vegetable drinks. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I remember, oh my God, where was it? So I'm 2 years sober from booze now, but alcohol, like, I mean, I'm glad I drank when I did, because I think I'm a better person for having had my drunk years and a better person for coming to the realization that I've drank enough for my lifetime.
Sometimes you hit your count.
Yeah, I'm a drag queen. I've toured the world. I've done more drinking in my lifetime than most heteronormative, like, suburban people do in their entire lives. And I'm kind of, and I had this moment of like, maybe I've drank enough, you know?
Maybe I'm done. I finished.
I always say I was like a thermometer and I just, like, you know, I got filled up. No more booze can fit in me.
It's like one of those fundraiser thermometers where it's like, all right, we hit the building fund. We hit the building fund.
Now we're gonna pack it up now. I can't remember where I was, but it was like, I want to say Sweden. So, some blonde European country. And it was a pride event and a drag show, and there was no booze backstage. What? And I remember being like so baffled by this. I was like, there's no booze? I was like, wine though. There's wine, right?
There's wine. There's always wine or beer. Like, there might not be liquor, because the venue can't have liquor, but you at least got a 5 or 6% somewhere in the building.
But there was nothing. And then I remember trying to, like, I tried to bribe a stagehand to go get me a drink from the crowd. And then at one point I realized I wasn't going on for like 30 minutes. So I tried to leave the backstage and go to a bar across the street just to get a shot before the show. Cause it was such a foreign concept to me to have to do drag with zero liquor in my system.
Oh, I know comics like that. They can't. Yeah. Like, and for a long time, like when I first started, I wouldn't drink before my set.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to. Well, one, it's the thing is I enjoy an adult beverage, but I don't enjoy the sensation of being like drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she gets a little buzz, she gets a little flirty, but like my, you're talking about like thermometers, like there's this like one, there's this line in a rap song where a guy says, I can't feel my face. And so I know how drunk I'm getting because either my forehead goes numb or my lips go numb. And one, if one of those two things happens, I go, water, I'm done. I'm out. I'm tapping out. Boom. Get the ref. I'm out. And I, because I've had moments where I got drunker than that. And I'm just sitting in my body going, well, how does this stop? Because I don't want anymore. How does this stop? That's where I'm over this.
That's a superpower, you know, being able to stop at the point that you start to feel yourself getting buzzed. And I don't know if it's really a superpower or if just as a drag queen, I so rarely meet people in my line of work where they're like, oh, once I feel buzzed, I stop drinking. Because I feel like a drag queen thing is like, let's see how long and how much we can drink before we're completely shit-faced. It's almost like comics a contest are like that. With ourselves.
Yeah, comics are like that. The only reason I'm like that is because once I hit a certain level of drunkenness, if I go past that, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
I'm miserable because I don't drink by myself. So then I would be miserable around people. Yeah. So, and I'm miserable around my friends. Like, what's wrong? She's like, I'm drunk and I hate it. It's stupid. Like, I don't want to be at that point. So the only reason I stop, the reason I stop is because I don't want to be miserable where you're just uncomfortable in your own body, which is why I don't like being high either. Like I've smoked weed a few times and been like, because at least when you're drunk, you're like, all right, I'm tired of this. You can throw up, you can eat, you can drink a bunch of water, tap out. When you're high, girl, you're high. Like you can't breathe more air. Like you can't do anything to stop it. So that's why I don't like being high.
Yeah, I you know, I had my I've had my gigs where I've had a few drinks before I hit the stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't make a habit of it, but I could never, at my best, I could never hit the stage stoned because something will happen where I will realize I'm in front of an audience of people and something crazy is happening, but I can't let everyone know that I'm being like really phased by the crazy thing that's happening. One time I did like a backyard garden party, and this was well before Drag Race, but I was very new to cannabis, and I thought, I know what's going to make today really fun is if I eat a weed brownie before the show later.
Oh no.
So I was in a weed brownie K-hole. I think I fell asleep. And then I got woken up like 10 minutes before I had to hit the stage. And I go and I hit the stage and I'm like, I got this. I feel good. I look great. I'm going to do this. And I don't remember why. I don't know if there was any reasoning behind it, but there was like a 75-year-old woman in the audience dressed as Frida Kahlo. What? And she just was frowning and shaking her head during my entire performance. And I was convinced... Ma'am. I was convinced it was the ghost of Frida Kahlo telling me she disapproved. So I made a vow, like, pretty much then, never to go on stage stoned again. And I've mostly stuck to that.
That's a solid plan, because pretty soon you start seeing the ghosts of people who are still alive.
Yeah.
Like, if you're too... It's like, is that the ghost of Dick Cheney? Is he dead? Like, now you're just sitting there going, is Dick Cheney alive? Wait, I need my phone.
Is it possible?
Right, you're in the middle of a lip sync in a song. You're like, can somebody Google is Dick Cheney's dead? Well, if you believe, like your lip, you know, your lip syncing share, you're giving them your best moves, and then you're just like, can you Google if Dick Cheney's dead? Thank you. It's a lot. But
I had a time once where right before I went on stage, they told me Chelsea Clinton was in the audience, but I had no idea what she looked like today. So I like go out and I'm working the audience, and I spent so much time bantering with a woman I thought was Chelsea Clinton because she had, you know, Chelsea Clinton's 90s hair. And it turns out she was actually the straight haired woman sitting like two chairs over.
I forgot Chelsea Clinton used to have curly hair. Because, you know, honestly, girl, just let your natural hair flow free. Shea Moisture works on everybody. No, it doesn't. Don't use our products, please. I can't say I was worried about the older Obama girl, because the younger one, she's gorgeous. But that older one, I just remember talking to my mother one day. I was like, girl, we might have another Chelsea Clinton on our hands. And I'm worried about the child. I really am. Maybe she'll grow out of this or grow into her. I don't know. But I was. She came out on the other side, though. But when she hit puberty, mm-hmm. I was like, uh-oh.
Puberty's a rough time for many, many people. But I can't imagine having been in the public eye and having to go through puberty. Can you? You know?
Well, I mean, I already had titties when I hit puberty, so I was already smooth.
You were good to go.
Yeah, I already had titties and a big ass when puberty hit, and I was like, oh, my body's finally catching up to my reproductive system, thank God.
So you're originally from Florida. Would you consider Florida your home state, or are you an expat?
I am originally from, me and my mom were both born in Miami. We're actually born in the same hospital. I think I was born in the room above where she was born.
Strangely enough, at the same time.
Truly.
It was a tear in the matrix.
It was a space-time continuum. It was a quantum leap moment. Me and that lady grew up at the same time. No, I spent most of my life in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would go back to Miami to visit my grandma, visit family. But most of my childhood and adult life was in Atlanta. So I guess mm-hmm. I would consider myself an ATLian. I love the I love the hashtag ATL ho, because most people don't get what we're talking about. But yeah, I think I would consider myself more of a Georgia girl than a Florida girl. Maybe like a fuzzy navel situation.
That's perfect term. And you live in New York now, yes?
Yeah, it's trash. I just got a new apartment, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I had a very large one bedroom because I live in Queens. But I'm doing a cartoon for Fox called The Great North, and I was recording that in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And then And then I was doing Daily Show in my living room, because we're in a panty liner. And yeah. I'm like, this is trash. I went to the grocery store one day, and I came back, wiped down all my groceries with Clorox wipes, and went in my living room, and there was a fucking green screen set up. And lights and everything. And I was like, there's no separation of church and state.
That makes perfect sense.
I need more space. And I was like, and I didn't have any outdoor space. Mm-hmm. So I was just in my apartment, just like, you know, trying to make it. Cause you know, we're in a Panasonic. And so I was like, I got a bigger place. I'm literally a mile down from where my old apartment was. And cause I really didn't want to change neighborhoods, but now I've got like 3 bedrooms. So like I'm in my studio room now, and I have a mm-hmm. big bedroom. And then my last bedroom, I turned into a craft room / guest room, mm-hmm. Cause people be coming over. And like there's a balcony off my bedroom, and then there's a terrace off my, you know, the craft room. So I have space. Cause my thing was, when I get a new place, I want to turn a corner.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for when I was looking for apartments. I'm like, oh, ain't no quarters in this bitch. Ain't no corners in here. But like I have a washer dryer and I have a dishwasher. And it's so funny because people in New York are like, oh my God, you have a washer dryer and a dishwasher. I'm like, this is standard shit in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Y'all live like savages. Like this is insane to me. They're like, I can't believe you have a washer dryer. And I was like, go home. This is nuts. This city's garbage. But yeah, I live in New York.
Well, that sounds okay. So you mentioned a few things you work on. But first, I want to talk about this whole like working from home thing, because you hit the nail on the head. I realized there was a point where I was like, oh, when I work from home, there are no off days.
No.
Because I'll be doing like my own thing one day because I have nothing scheduled. But they're like, oh, we'll call Jinx because she can just, she's got a microphone or she's got a ring light. She can just hop into drag and do this thing for us. She's got nothing else going on. And it's kind of the most frustrating thing about quarantine as an entertainer is that everyone knows where to find you now. You can't say like, sorry, I'm on the road. I'm in the air. Can't do that.
Oh, man. Missing emails because you were in the sky. Oh, what a great a cross-country flight. Nobody can fuck with you for 5 hours. And listen, we all know that if you're on Delta and have T-Mobile, you have full access to your text messages and email.
But they don't have to know that.
But they don't have to. You don't know what. You don't know who my carrier is. I'm not checking this shit. The only reason I'm on this here internet is so I can play the games on my iPad or watch my Korean dramas in the sky.
Exactly.
That's the only reason I'm on here. But yeah, I used to be like, oh, I'm unavailable. I'm on the road. And it was like, oh, no, you home. Because I'm home. Because everybody is home. The whole world had to sit the hell down.
Yeah.
So that was the wild part. They're just messaging you at all times of night.
On the flip side of it, congratulations being able to still work. Let's talk about The Daily Show. Because we met like maybe like four years ago. And you were working on The Daily Show then. So yes. How many years has it been that you've been a Daily Show correspondent?
I started in September of 2017. Wow. Dang. How many years is that? 18, 19, 20. This year will be 4 years.
Yeah.
Fuck. I didn't know. I was unaware.
How do you find that experience? What is it like with compare and contrast stand-up comedy to doing network television, Daily Show corresponding with the very handsome Trevor Noah.
It's so funny. People always talk about how handsome Trevor is, and I never see it. I don't. To me, he looks like a giant little boy, just a very tall 10-year-old. Because he has a little kid face to me.
Yeah.
Like, he has a man's body. Like, one day I looked at him, I was like, I guess I get it. And then I looked at his face, and I'm just like, he looks like he wants fruit snacks. Like, that's how I see him. People are like, I can't believe that. I'm like, shouldn't we be glad that I don't want to sleep with my boss? Everybody calm down. He looks like a big kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Let it live, right? But it's been, one, I'm not a writer on the show. Everybody thinks I'm a writer. All these comics are trying to help me, to get them to help them. I'm not a writer. I'm at the WGA. That's a whole nother person's job. It's been the most interesting part about it is that we get to pitch our own stories for the show. So like there's this new thing we've been doing, Count On It, that started in, we started doing last year in, during the quarantine. And it was something that I had pitched like before the lockdown started. Because I wanted to do something about the census. So it's been great that something that I came up with, just an idea that I had, is now a piece that, you know, we call it Count On It because of the census piece.
Yeah.
But now it's something that's recurring.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to create, you know, something on the show that was a recurring piece on the show.
Yeah.
Which has been really great. And I always work with Josh Johnson, who's a comic who is just, he's one of those comics where, like, I don't know if it was the same for drag queens, but like, he's one of those comics that you watch where you're just like, do I tell jokes? Do I write material? Fuck. Like, I don't, like, every time I watch him, I'm like, what am I doing?
What the hell am I doing?
Why are they paying me to say these words? This is insane. Like, every time I watch him, I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? Am I telling jokes? So he helps. Me and him work together to write the pieces that I do with Trevor. And any of, like, we have joke meetings for the field pieces that I do. But it's very collaborative. And Trevor's very supportive. That's one thing I do miss because we're working from home. It's just me bothering him when he gets his makeup done.
Yeah.
Like, if you look, like, there's like, if you look on like my Instagram, there's like various pictures of him sitting up in the makeup chair and me just being like, what's up, player? Like, it's just me bothering him. I do miss bothering him. That's what I do miss about it. And being in Josh's office with all the other black people at work, just having a good old time.
Yeah.
But it has been interesting to like learn all of the technical stuff. Because I've always appreciated the crew. You know, we're theater kids, so you always appreciate the crew because you've been the crew before.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking before we started recording about I know way more about tech stuff than I ever planned to or ever thought I should. You know?
This ain't my job. I am talent. Like I told my manager one day, hey man, I'm talent, dog. I don't want to know none of, I got a camera set up now that's got a teleprompter on it, and I had to figure out how to do the shit. I got an SSL board. I don't know what the letters even mean. Like, this is not what she went to school for. Like, she's a performer. You know, she's talented. This, girl, I know too much. This is like...
I've been, like, finding the balance, you know. First of all, my office is also my closet, so...
True.
It's good for sound stuff because the fabrics absorb the radial sound, the atmosphere.
You sound great.
Thank you. But yeah, there have been days where it's like I run late doing my makeup, so I'm literally balancing my laptop on my eyeshadow palettes before I start a live show, you know?
Oh, I've got a box of grits that I'm trying to get into the union. That box of grits has worked so hard. The number of times I've had to put a camera, there was things. I had a FedEx box, a grits box, and a box of candle came in. And but that grits box, whoo, when I tell you that she needs benefits, she worked hard during the quarantine.
My cats, I have a cat tower that none of the cats use that has become my tech station because I got a level for lights. I got a level for my phone. I got a level for my computer. But you did mention doing your animated voiceover recording work from home. Okay. So that's one of those moments you mentioned earlier, like we would have joke meetings and then you're talking about doing voiceover for animation from your bedroom. It's moments like that where you're like, what is my job? Doesn't it feel like we're just playing make-believe sometimes?
the thing that messed me up the most was I was home working.
Yeah.
But they were still paying me office money. And I was like... Are you sure? I'm gonna take it. But are we okay? All right, I still gotta pay my mama's mortgage. I'm gonna take the money. But I know you're supposed to be asking me questions, but I've been very interested in this. I wasn't doing any Zoom shows because I'm a theater kid and because I'm, you know, with just we live in a live performance world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wasn't doing Zoom shows because I couldn't feel the audience.
Yeah.
Is it doing drag shows on the white man's internet when you can't feel the audience?
It's nuts. It's nuts for a few reasons. And I kind of like, you know, the thing is, it's nuts, but I found a way to make it work for myself. And it's like, if I don't do this, how else am I going to stay connected with my audience and keep them like... How am I going to keep them engaged and make them feel taken care of in a sense, you know, that sounds like holier than thou, but like, I also want to make sure my audience stays entertained, you know? And, I did start to feel like, you know, I owe this to them. They've come out to see my shows for a long time. I owe it to them to figure out the weirdness of performing for my computer, you know, so that I can still give them something during this time, especially, you know, since I was thinking about the people who had bought tickets to all my tours that got canceled. You know, I want to still give them something. But that said, difficult as fuck because you tell a joke and you know when you like write a joke there's like it's all about timing and the you know the musicality of the joke and you like you know put all the pieces together and you're like if I say it like this I'm assured like maybe 10 seconds to 20 seconds of laughter to like reset for the next joke and when you're performing for a computer all that all that like years of experience and training goes out the window because you tell your joke and there's just utter silence. And you're like, and now how do I get to the next joke? Because normally there's like laughter here to pad the transition, you know?
And you ain't got nothing, not a thing, Nathan.
And there were times when I would ask my roommates to watch the shows and I would encourage them to laugh. But I live with a bunch of very shy, introverted people. And even the thought of people hearing their laughter on the Zoom call was too much for them. So they'd sit there going, and I'm like, please, please give me something.
I need the sounds.
I'm a vampire who is running on fumes right now.
Give me your laughter. I need to consume it. I have been wondering, but some comics loved it. They thrived on it. And some of them, they would change it to where, because at one point everyone's like, okay, leave the sound on so we can at least hear the audience, and then turn the cameras off. And they're like, but we can't see people. And they're like, okay, well, leave the cameras and the sound on. But the problem when you do that is it's still people at their own house.
Yeah.
So they're laughing, but now they're doing dishes, having a conversation. Now they on the phone.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we ever found a good equilibrium with that.
I don't think it can be synthesized, but I think, you know, like, I think we did the very, very best that we could. Both audiences and entertainers found a way to make it work. And also what I would say is, even though it felt awkward as hell, for me, the feedback has always been lovely. And I feel like people are like, they go into it knowing it's a Zoom show. It's not going to be the same as being live. So, you know, they're being very gracious and they're being very loyal and supportive.
That's great.
There was only one time that I kind of like noticed that the chat happening in one of the live shows I was doing was a chat about something having nothing to do with my show. And I was like, maybe this number gets cut next time I do this. I've clearly lost them. But
so you where would you perform at? Sorry to interview you on your podcast.
No,
but
no, you're fine.
Interested in that.
I would say, you know, like sometimes it was in front of my fireplace if I was doing a singing show. I did a couple like more talky shows, similar to what we're doing right now, but you know, like with a video component. And I did those from my bed for a while. And my assistant, who also lives with me, is also my best friend. We were doing shows from my bedroom for about 2 weeks when he finally said, okay, we've got to do, like, you can't just be, you're literally in bed all day. Like, you don't even have, you're not even going downstairs to do your shows anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've catered to that and I've got to step in and say, let's get you, at least downstairs. And that's when we worked on the office space. But you know, it's all, I think everyone's just very patient with each other right now because we all know we're trying our best to figure it out. So I would say just like everything else, like we've been talking about, there have been good aspects to it and there have been bad aspects to it. And ultimately, I'm just ready to get back on stage. I'm not going to do it until it's absolutely right to do it. I'm not like jumping the gun with that, but I am very much ready to get back to it.
Yeah, I've been, let's just say that there were times I was doing shows. Oh, we probably shouldn't be doing shows. But like outdoor shows started popping off and they were still doing them well until when it was cold.
Yeah.
And at a certain point in like December, and I was like, I think we got to stop. It's 20 some odd degrees out here. And you would see people outside, like one club had like heaters. And it's like, okay, there's heaters out here, but people are also out here in like those emergency like Dorito bag blankets. just freezing. And I'm just like, this is not, no, she didn't come up for this. Like it was like your hands would be cold.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and that's all you're thinking about.
And that's all you're thinking about. And I was like, let's not. And so you just had to learn. You had to figure out like, okay, we're outside and you know, now there's a garbage truck going by. So you got to pause for a second, you know, or there's a siren or there's a bus or there's, but the other thing about like when the lockdown ended and we were doing these outdoor shows, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Cause like people were just like, we just wanted to be out of the house.
Yeah.
And people weren't, I can say that, and even with coming back, people aren't heckling at all, mm-hmm. but they also want you to talk to them more.
I was like, please acknowledge me. Please validate my existence.
No, you being here is validating mine. Like, because it's been interesting to see people, you know, coming out and, you know, the comics that were coming out versus the comics that weren't going out at all. But like, you know, my mom, once everything started, she sent me, she was making masks. She made masks for me. She made masks for my friends. I did a movie in January called Chick Fight that came out in November. And I had to, you know, I was playing in this big part, like this, like it was a reasonable, like socially distanced party. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days before, Cuomo was like, okay, no more than 10 people anywhere. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you know how many centerpieces I just made? So like I had done like a whole spread and it was like, all right, we got to follow the rules. We got to be safe. And that's the thing. It's been interesting. The people that have been like, okay, let's be safe. And the other people are like, nah, fuck it. Do yeah. what I want.
It's, yeah. It's definitely been just an interesting experience that I think we'll all be like stronger for when we're on the other side of it. Yes. I will say that some of the challenges have led me to doing things that I've been putting off for a long time, like doing podcasts or doing more video and sketch writing and like mm-hmm. character work, because I've been kind of comfortably doing the Jinx Monsoon cabaret gig for so yes. long. And it's like what I do if I don't have any, like if I'm not getting auditions for other things, I'm just going to keep doing my own work, you know?
Right.
But finding solutions to some of the obstacles has led me to like having new ideas and, you know, it's led to creative growth. But I'm also now like, okay, that was fun. I've grown. And now get me back to what I'm good at.
I'm done. I grew. Exactly. I drank all the alcohol. I did all my growth. I'm done. I think.
I finished Pornhub. I've seen it all.
I've seen all the porn.
I am so interested in hearing about your experience being on the Great North, because I am an adult child. I pretty much only watch cartoons and shows about superpowers and magic. Right. I just love animated shows because I feel like the possibilities are endless. Like you can have Alanis Morissette coming from the clouds and being your spirit guide yes! in the sky.
It's been so cool doing that. It's weird to watch the show and hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weirdest thing. It's like, because when the show first came out, like one of my friends were like texting me. You're like, yo, that's your voice. Like one of my friends didn't know I was like on the show. Mm-hmm. It hit me up and like, are you on the show? Because I thought I heard you. And I was like, that's me. It's weird to hear your voice. It's weird to hear your voice and not see your face.
Yeah.
Which is one thing that has been interesting, but it's been great because, like, I got to give input on how the character looks.
Mm-hmm.
So Wendy Molyneux, her and her sister Lizzie, they created the show. Mm-hmm. And when we were, because, oh my God, I think I auditioned for the show like in 2019, maybe. People don't realize how long it takes to get a TV show on the air.
Animation, but, animation especially. Yeah, especially it takes animation. Forever.
So they were showing me like prototypes of the character, and I was mm-hmm. like, just give her an afro.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and I was like, just do a squiggle. It's an afro. Draw a squiggle. Put it somewhere near where her head is. And mm-hmm. she's got an afro, and they were like, okay, let's see. And I did not know that that's how she looked until we had like our first like official table read. And I was in LA and I get there and not only does she have an afro, there's a flower in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And my headshot, I have an afro with the flower in my hair.
So they started kind of adapting the character to the voice actor.
I guess like, yeah, because they didn't tell me. I just like, I didn't know what she was going to look like. And then I got there and I sent like a picture to like my manager and my mom. And I was just like, they made her look like me. The other thing that I love is that I said to them, there was like, I was reading, we were recording one of the episodes for like the, and I was like, oh, this is an episode. She's in bed. If she's in bed, she's got to have a head wrap on. And she has to have her hair tied up. And they're like, we already got it. And I was like, come on. I was so excited to find out that they had her hair wrapped up. Because that is the, like, I mean, as much as we love Scandal, every time I saw her in her bed and her hair was not tied up, I was like, what?
And the cast of The Great North is just like, it's really an amazing assemblance of very talented, amazing people. Have you recorded the majority of it from your bedroom, or did you have any in studio time with other cast members?
We had in studio time. So I've done a few, then the table read and record in LA, and me and Aparna live in New York. So when we would have, so a lot of times when I would record, it would be me and Aparna together in the studio. But the thing that's actually been interesting with Zoom is because we would do table reads. So it was everybody in LA, and then anyone who wasn't in LA would like call in.
Yeah.
But with Zoom, it's, we're all on, like, mm-hmm. for a table read. We're usually all on. Mm-hmm. So that's, and then they gave us like the Zoom backgrounds where we have like our character's name, and whenever we have like a guest star, it'll have like their name above it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool with Zoom for the table reads is because we get to see everybody. Mm-hmm. In the table reads, as opposed to me just, you know, I would literally be at Daily Show on my office phone reading my lines off my computer, and then be like, all right guys, and be like, bye, and then I'm back at work. So that's been the coolest thing, is like, I hope even when like the world comes back, like when we do the table reads, I kind of hope we still stay on Zoom, because then we can see everybody, because I'm married to Will on the show, and he is the sweetest man. And Nick Offerman is very funny, and it's just been really great. And I've always loved Aparna's stand up.
My first really great introduction to Aparna, Aparna Nancherla, was Z-Way's show Baited. And Aparna is so funny on that. And I mean, they're both hysterical. The show's amazing. And it was one of those moments that once I saw her once, now I see her everywhere.
Yes.
And then when I realized it was her voice, because the voice was so familiar, she plays a young white boy in the show.
Moon. Yeah, she plays Moon. But his, and, but her voice is perfect for him.
Absolutely perfect. And it's a, I mean, she's got, you both have amazing voices for voiceover work, and you both have soothing, easy to listen to voices.
Thank you so much.
It's just, it's, it, I love animation, and I also, you know, I love that it seems that the animation that's happening now is finally like acknowledging and correcting the long-standing problematic thing of, you had like, back in the day, you had like three white voice actors voicing every single character on the show.
Yeah.
And plenty of characters they had no business voicing.
Plenty of them. Plenty of them. Hari Kondabolu did a whole documentary about it called The Problem with Apu. And I don't even think Hank Azaria does his voice anymore. I don't even know if Apu's on the show anymore. But it's, I'm glad that I'm able to, it's funny because somebody commented one day, they were just like, well, if white actors voice and actors of color isn't okay, then how can Aparna do Moon? And I'm just like, because she can, bro.
Because she can. And fuck you. And maybe.
Nice try, loser. Nice try. Don't black try to block Aparna's blessings, you bastard.
Exactly. My thought on that is just like, maybe when white people have been oppressed for centuries upon thousands of years, then maybe we'll have that conversation. but until we get there.
How about you get off this part of the internet, playboy?
Exactly.
Stupid.
And but also fuck you. Yeah.
Also fuck you. I can say my favorite animated show right now is Craig of the Creek. It's
I watched some of that. And that's one of those shows that is actually for children, but it's still good for adults, right?
Yes. One Fortune Feimster does a voice on the show. First of all, shout out to Fortune. She stay working.
Yeah.
She stay getting a check. But I want to do a voice on that show so bad. But it's like when you watch those kids cartoons like Craig of the Creek or like Recess, where it's like these kids have like their own like kingdoms and like their own like little groups of friends. I was just like, the fuck was I doing as a kid?
I was doing childhood wrong. Yeah.
Damn it. Were other kids doing this shit?
I played some weird games as a kid. I was basically, me and my friends used to LARP.
I fuck with it.
I LARPed into my teens. But I remember, you know, I always, oh God, that's a different podcast. That's a different, I was going to go off on a tangent.
I was
going to
try LARPing, but the hardest, listen, that's why one of my favorite things would be to go to like Dragon Con, because we started a hashtag called Black at Dragon Con, because we would just see each other and be like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then, but I'm just glad there's like, now there's just white people going, can we be Cleons? And I'm going to go, no, you can't be. You can't. It's just us. Me and Michael Dorn.
Is Dragon Con, is it an anime?
It's like Comic Con. It's Comic-Con. Just in Atlanta.
Okay. So I just remember that one year Drag Con was happening, and somehow Drag Con and Dragon Con kept getting mixed up for each other. So there are a lot of drag queens who are like, I'll be here. And then it's like hashtag Dragon Con. And everyone was like, you're going to be there? You're going to be there that weekend?
No, you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing. You're just going, what? It's just... You just see Jiggly Caliente and Stormtroopers, and you're like, call her manager. Her booking was wrong.
Something got lost in translation.
Sidebar, speaking of DragCon, I brought this because I wanted to show you. So the first DragCon in Los Angeles, I...
The giant, the Gia Gunn hula hoop purse. That, yes. Did you have that made? I love it.
No, I was at DragCon.
Oh,
and
wait,
I wanted
was she selling those?
Yes, she was selling them. She had a friend there was selling them. And I get there, and this was like the black one, right? It was like the black bag with the hula hoops. And I get up to the booth, and I was like, there's only one black bag left, right? And I see this girl, and I walk up, and I was like, sweetheart, are there any more black bags? And he's like, oh, and the man that's at Gia's booth is like, oh, no, she got the last one. But I see her on her phone holding her card. And I was like, And I was like, what's going on with her car? And she was like, he goes, girl, you know, she's having a little bit of issue. You know, she's like, he didn't want to say it. I just went, my car's not going to get declined. And he went, sorry, girl. And then, like, got the bag. I was like, here you go. But then he couldn't find the card swiper. And I was like, come on, Jesus. So I bought that bag right in front of that damn girl. And I straight up said, my car's not going to get declined. Come on. Come up off this bag. And so Gia Gunn sees us with the bag as we're walking through. Mm-hmm. She has a whole line of people stop to take autographs with her. She stops her line. And then me and two guys that I was there with, I would call them friends, but that would be a lie. Gia does like a full photo shoot with us and the person. She gave me an autograph picture. It was, and I just moved, so I don't know where the picture is, but it's a full-on thing, and it was absolutely ridiculous, and I met all the queens, because this is before it was on VH1, so it wasn't surrounded by annoying-ass kids. But, yes, I had to show you my...
Yeah, I love that purse. I love that story for you. And I love that DragCon has become, it's almost like, it's funny because I see like big time celebrities at DragCon walking around, not being recognized at all because there's enough drag queens around to distract everyone from the fact that Marsha Gay Harden is just like walking around the convention center.
Just trying to see like, oh my God, it's like, am I famous enough to not have to stand in the line to talk to Latrice Royale? And it's like, no, you're not. No, it's unless Cher walks in the building, everyone stands in a line. Remember the first DragCon, you couldn't, RuPaul was surrounded by curtains. And if you did not pay for the meet and greet, you couldn't get a glimpse of RuPaul. And I was like, you know what, bitch, run it. And then Tyra Sanchez had a booth. We had to pay $20 to take a picture with her. And I had done like this cute, I had like a leopard print bra, lace print shirt, leopard print pants, little leopard and black patent leather shoe. And then I had like a long ponytail and I had like a little, just like a little leopard print illusion. Tyra Sanchez comes walking through and I was like, can I get a picture with you? And she's like, and I was like, girl. And she's like, okay, hurry up. And I got, what I tell you, I was out back smoking cigarettes with Ginger Minj. Mm-hmm. Then I was like hanging out with Willem. I'm like talking to Jinx. Like, I met every single drag queen that day. I'm so serious. I was like,
you had your punch card. You checked them all off. You had your bingo.
And then what was it? April. Oh, what's her name?
April Carrion.
I didn't want to say it wrong. So April Carrion was staying with my homegirl because my homegirl's roommate makes clothes for April Carrion. Mm-hmm. So April Carrion was at the house. So when I get to DragCon, April Carrion's got this whole line and she looks at me, she goes, I walk around the corner. I'm like, hey girl. She goes, perra. I was like, perra. And so again, her whole line stops and people are looking at me just shooting daggers. And I'm just like, I mean, she didn't call you perra girl. So that's why you gotta wait in this line. Bye. Like, I was in my best life at DragCon. So, and then the next time I went at the Javits Center, now I was on VH1. I was like, who are these fucking kids? I can't talk to nobody. And then I just saw Bob the drag queen sitting there looking like a mall Santa. Because it was just like, okay. Like, just taking pictures of people like, oh. And I was like, this is not how drag queens should be treated.
I just never thought I'd see the day. I really never thought I'd see the day. The first time I went, I didn't have a booth or anything. I went and I was like, I'm just going to go have fun and walk around. I didn't know that that was impossible. Because I just never thought I'd see the day that drag queens would have this level of fandemonium, you know?
Bless it.
When you get your start, like, in dive bars, it seems impossible that there would be a day that there would be a convention devoted to drag. But, you know, thank you, everyone, for making this possible. I want to give you my my favorite outro questions. And I want to thank you so much for doing this podcast, because this has been a delight. And congratulations on all your success. And I'm wishing you...
Congratulations on your success.
Thank you. I'm wishing you many, many more years of just everything that you're doing, because I just love it all. I need to ask, though, who is your celebrity crush today?
Okay, listen. All right, so celebrity crush of all time, Mandy Patinkin. I don't know why. I can't tell you. I can't explain it.
Who would have guessed?
Nobody would have. Listen, if they ever come up with a time machine, this is what I'm going back in time to do. I'm banging a Harry Met Sally Billy Crystal, a Willy Wonka Gene Wilder. Listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to get attainable men, okay? This one's trying to do. This is TV's fault, okay? They're so talented that it's like, I have to see his dick. Right? Like, you get to, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where I want to say it's because they're talented, but I get my obsessions with people and it has, you know, there are times where it has nothing to, you know, I try to justify my crush on them, but it's really just a guilty pleasure. Like my, I know I'm not the only one who has like a big Pete Davidson crush, but my roommates give me a hard time about it. And I'm always like, but he's so good to his mom and he's so funny. And they're like, no, it's just that you like big, you like tall, scrawny guys because you think they have a big dick.
Yeah, listen, I know Pete Davidson. I'm okay. I'm glad to hear that you
compartmentalize your relationship so you're not like lusting after your coworkers.
I know I've slept with comics before. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, not that one. That was like my crushes of all time. My true, true crush is Tyler Lepley.
Yes, very sexy.
He was on P-Valley. He played Diamond. And I want to give him kids. I want his offspring to enter the world through me. Like, that's what...
You want to be the threshold.
I want to be the threshold. I want to be the vessel that's gonna make him a father. That's what I want for myself and what I hope the Lord wants for me. And I've tried to say stuff to him on Instagram, girl, but you know, his DMs are probably flooded. That boy is flooding basements from coast to coast. So he's flooding basements, his DMs is flooded. So maybe maybe the Lord will bless me to meet this man in person when, you know, my titties is at their highest. That's what I want. But yes, that's my celebrity crush is Tyler Lepley, because I want to be his wife. Not baby mama. I want to be his wife.
Okay. His wife. You're ready for the commitment.
Yes. You think I'm going to let that man leave me? Ha! You're crazy. I will fight any bitch coming at him. Human, animal. Listen, if you own a vagina, I'm punching you. Get away from my man.
I can't think of a better way to end our conversation today than on the line, if you own a vagina, I'm punching you. It's a loaded statement, but I'm not the one who said it, so I'm going to just let it linger.
Listen, I'm here. I believe women. I support women. But if you get near my man, you know how hard I had to work to get this man? Bitch, get flat. There is no way. There's no way. I don't even fuck the species it. Mammals, dolphins, chickens, cat, back the fuck up. I pulled this man. I will go to war.
Your future husband will just live in a biodome that only you have access to.
Oh, no, we got to be out in the streets to let you know that I pulled this pretty ass man.
Okay.
Look how the Lord, listen, you don't believe in God? Let me give you proof that Jesus is real. If you don't believe in our Lord and Savior, look at this man that God let me marry. You can get saved today. Me? Him? Come on. Of course you What? This is only a miracle from God on high that I pulled. Tyler Lepley? Google. But Google him. Google me. And if I pull this man, that's sainthood. For something. Whoever marries us,
there's
sainthood.
The evidence for divine intervention. I will light a candle and some incense for this to manifest for you. Thank you so much for being my guest today, Dulce.
I had so much fun!
I had so much fun, too, and it's so nice reconnecting with you since I have such blurry memories of that after party.
Don't worry, I do, too.
So thank you, Dulce, and thank you to everyone for listening to Hijinks here on the Forever Dog and Moguls of Media Network. My name is Jinx Monsoon, and we have new episodes every Wednesday, so make sure to search for Hijinks on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. You can follow me at The Jinx on Instagram and Jinx Monsoon everywhere else. Where can they follow you, Dulce?
You can follow me at Dulce Sloan. That is DulceSloan, not Dolce. My mother went to college. And that's that on the, it's all the places on the interwebs, everywhere on the white man's internet. Twitter, Facebook, Black Planet. Is anybody still on Black Planet? And Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram, so follow me on there.
Me too. It's nice to have just the one focal point.
Yeah, I like pictures. All that Twitter is too much reading, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some things never change. thank you again, Dulce. And I'll see all of my listeners. I guess I won't see you. I'll be talking at you next Wednesday for some more hijinks.
Forever Dog.
To listen to Hijinks ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Make sure to follow at Forever Dog Team and at Mom Podcasts on social, and rate and review Hijinks 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hijinks is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, aka Mom, hosted by me, Jinx Monsoon, produced by Big Dipper, editing and sound design by Will Pitts, executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.